616 at KLIS. Good news for Cowboys fans. Zeke will be wearing a jersey on Sunday against the 49ers. But the question still remains, how long will he get to play? Not in that particular game, but in the coming weeks.
Looks like it's probably going to be a couple of weeks. But to talk about the legal maneuvering that's going on a little bit now, we're joined by sports attorney Graham Blake with Blake & Blake LLP. Good morning, Mr. Blake.
Hi, good morning, David, and good morning, Amy.
So I'm sure you've been following the details here, and you can help us a little bit because it's gotten to the point where the turns and the twists and the back and the forth and that we're getting really confused.
It's hard to keep score.
Yes.
What was this court that overturned a court of appeals?
Well, this was the Southern District of New York. It's the federal court district that sits in Manhattan. What had happened was that Zeke had, in the NFLPA, had run out and filed in the Eastern District of Texas first. As it turns out, we've heard from the Fifth Circuit maybe too early, because that's why the Fifth Circuit ruled the way it had, that Zeke and the NFLPA had not waited for their remedies to be exhausted. So this is not actually the same case, even though it's the exact same parties and the exact same issue. This is a case that was filed right after the arbitrator ruled and after Zeke had filed in the Eastern District of Texas. The NFL filed their own lawsuit in the Southern District of New York.
The judge who allowed Zeke to play was actually a fill-in judge, because the judge who was supposed to hear the case was actually on vacation?
Yes, that's right. The judge the judge whose court the NFL's case is pending in is named Judge Fela, and apparently she is on vacation, and they have local rules that set up, they call it a Part 1 judge, and this judge's name was Crotty, and he is the judge who issued this ruling. Basically, the Part 1 judge is there apparently to fill in for judges who might be on vacation, but also just, you know, if anybody shows up with an emergency type of motion, the judges essentially, they're not on call because they're supposed to be there from 9 to 5. You don't get to call them in the middle of the night, but that's the judge that ruled in this case.
Do you think that the fact that it was a fill-in judge, that had a hand in the decision that was made?
You know, I think it obviously it's possible, because judges are different people, and it may have a role down the road, because the next step will be in front of the regular judge. But, you know, in this case, the judge has to apply the same law, you know, the same case law and the same, you know, the facts are in front of him are the same. So I don't know that it's hard to say whether a different judge would rule the same way, but I don't think this judge ruled this way just because he was a fill-in judge.
I'm confused about a couple of things, and I'd like to start there with this guy being a fill-in judge. His legal opinion isn't as good as the one who's assigned the – I mean, I don't understand why you have to have somebody fill in until she's back from vacation.
Well, I mean, and Cowboy fans, the problem is to have a – in order to get this TRO issued and she was on vacation – you know, you had to have some judge speak. And when I said a fill-in judge, that, like I said, under the local rules, he was there to fill this role. But Judge Crotty is a full Article III, federal court judge. He's not, you know, he's not a part-time judge or something like that.
Right. Well, what I'm curious about is then why does they have to go through this again when this other judge is back from vacation?
Right. Well, what the judge issued yesterday is called a temporary restraining order. And in a sense, a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction and a permanent injunction, it's all the same thing. It's the court ordering a person or a group to either do something or to refrain from doing something. But in the TRO case, it's the most extreme in the sense that the other side doesn't necessarily even get notice. So you might run to the court and say, Judge, this is an emergency. We have to have this restraining order. We don't even have time to give the other side notice, and let's get this done. What the judge did here, although the NFL was present, the restraining order is very limited, and it's, you know, on or before October 30th, they're going to have to go in front of Judge Fela and argue about what would be called a preliminary injunction. And like I said, a preliminary injunction and TRO are essentially the same thing, the main difference being that both sides are there. They're going to have a full argument about, the NFL obviously has a different say compared to the NFLPA, and then Judge Fela would decide whether or not she would issue a preliminary injunction.
We're talking with sports attorney Graham Blake with Blake and Blake LLP about Zeke being allowed to play on Sunday. Is this the same judge, this female judge? Is it the same judge who decided not to accept the testimony of the woman in question in this case?
No, I don't think so. This judge, this case, I believe, has been basically on standby because, as I said, the NFLPA, who is actually the party, Zeke is, they're doing this on behalf of Zeke, but they ran to the Eastern District of Texas and were able to file their case first. And so the Southern District, I believe, has not had anything to do, really, because Zeke hasn't even filed an answer until October 16th, and that's when he filed his answer and counterclaimed and then what was called a motion for temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction. And that's what the judge yesterday ruled on, was you get your TRO.
Okay, so we are still far removed from the original, the events that started all of this, which was the NFL deciding that Ezekiel Elliott should be suspended from the league for 6 weeks because of allegations made against him, allegations that were never proven, and allegations that were never even even turned into charges in law, right? So does he have a case anywhere to go back to that and say the NFL didn't have a right to do this to me?
Right. Well, that's what right now he's in the Southern District of New York, and they still are keeping hope alive that in the Eastern District of Texas they might be able to come back there, and they like that idea because the Southern District, they feel like the Southern District, because it's covered by the Second Circuit, they have already had a case with Tom Brady that was somewhat similar to this. It's different, but somewhat similar, and so the thinking is that the NFL would like to be in the New York court because the case law there, they at least are acting like they think it's a slam dunk. I think that the problem is the process that they went through with Brady and with the Ezekiel Elliott situation is so different. And what's encouraging for Ezekiel Elliott, all of the judges so far that have actually addressed the merits, two of the Fifth Circuit judges, you know, did not get beyond the question of is there subject matter jurisdiction. They said no, and if that's the case, then they don't go on to look at the actual facts of the case. But the judge in the Eastern District of Texas, one of the Fifth Circuit judges, and now this Judge Crotty, everyone seems to be struck by, they has questions at least about the fundamental fairness of this. When you don't allow someone to question witnesses, you don't allow them to question Roger Goodell, who made the ultimate decision. You don't get the question, well, you know, Roger, did you know that there were questions about, you know, this woman's credibility? Did anyone tell you that? And if he had said no, you would say, well, how is that fair that you didn't even consider that kind of evidence?
Right. Well,
were you surprised by this? And do you think this will go all the way to the Supreme Court?
Well, cases don't just, you know, the Supreme Court doesn't have to take any particular case, and I don't know that it would get that far, but I wouldn't say I was surprised because, it is considered uphill that you would ever ultimately prevail, and the NFL will say, look, this is part of the CBA. We have this grievance process. The NFLPA agreed to it. Everybody's a sophisticated party here. The federal courts, no court should come in and say, hey, well, this is not fair. You guys agreed this, but we should do it a different way. But like I said, even though if you follow the letter of the CBA, if in doing so you set up you run that process in a way that's so unfair, at some point it does become a problem, and at some point you're not actually following the CBA. So I do think there's a good chance. Again, you know, they have to go in front of a different judge, but I would think that what is possible, you might hope likely, but that Judge Falo will issue a preliminary injunction, which at that point, the idea, the next step is a trial, which would determine whether or not a permanent injunction should be issued. And the permanent injunction would be saying, NFL, you can't impose a suspension on Ezekiel Elliott.
All right.
But a preliminary would be able to drag it out, and obviously the season only has 11 or 12 or whatever more weeks left.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Blake, thank you. We'll probably be talking about this again when it takes another turn.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. There's sports attorney Graham Blake with Blake and Blake LLP.